we bless your holy name. We raise our praise to you this morning, Lord. Our weapon is a melody this morning. Fill us, Holy Spirit, Lord. Worthy are you, Father. Come on. Our reason, hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies. Our reason, hallelujah, louder. Over there, you guys are far away. Let's sing a little louder. Come on, let me hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I don't have to say, here we are, wherever you're taking this in. This is, you know, you guys are taking this in right here in the flesh, and we're joining our hearts together, and it's so good to be together, gather together. This is awesome. So let's invite him this morning just to be with us. Let's invite his Holy Spirit and just recognize what a good God he is, what he has done for us, what he continues to do for us, when we're sleeping, he never slumbers. He is going for it. He's on our behalf, doing things for us. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God. You are such a good God. You are a perfect God. God, we don't know. We don't pretend to know what's going on. But we know that we contend not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities, Lord, of this present darkness. We know, Lord, though, that you are in control. The battle has been won, Lord, and we can claim victory in your name. God, as we sing these songs this morning, Lord, I pray for an extra, additional, deeper portion of grace that is poured out upon us here this morning, God. These are our people, God, right here. These are your people, and we gather together in your name to bless you this morning. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's worship together. After us, oh God, pursuing us, oh Lord. are such a good God, Lord. Oh, Lord, worship your holy name.
Yes, Jesus.
All our life, God, all our lives you've been faithful. Even when we've been faithless, Lord. Thank you, oh Lord.
Thank you.
Good to see that nobody has their bathrobe on. A few of you took the liberty to bring your own coffee to church. Okay, that's acceptable. One of the things, kids, I'm so glad to see you. This is a special time for you. I realized during COVID that I come to church and I'm dealing mostly with adults. And then you guys come in and you go straight to the Sunday school and I don't see you. So I really am glad to see you, because one of the things that our church has tried to stand for is you, that you are the future. Did you know that, El? That God, that his parents and friends and family, we want to make sure that faith is not just something your parents did, not just a church they went to, and then you drift off into, quote unquote, the real world, but that this is your time to really learn about God and to understand God. So it's really good to see you this morning. I'd also like to thank Ethan. And he has an assistant here. Mimi came today to help volunteer. Appreciate you, Mimi, coming. And Ethan has lost about 25 pounds because we were filming inside, and he would film, and then he'd run back up to the balcony, come back down. And he said, oh, I forgot to do the sound check, and he'd run up and down. But he's been here, and he has a full-time job. But he's been here every Friday for 3 or 4 hours, and then 3 or 4 hours on Saturday. This service is being taped, so it'll be coming out like not later than Tuesday morning. It's tough being on tape too, because then people actually hear everything you say and you can't take it back. That was on the tape, I didn't mean that. A lot of you just forget it, you know, but so I'm really grateful for that. I'm also grateful for Dave Williams and Bill Malstead for what you did. Steve Wan came over yesterday and helped clean and set up. Appreciate every one of you to do this. So want to talk briefly. Our goal is to keep the service to about an hour. And also, when you go, you know, greet, but we don't want to linger too long. I still believe that social distancing is wise. And I told somebody, everybody's have a different view on all the things we've been through, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to it, but we just want to be respectful and wise about it and loving in our hearts. So what we're doing today is a reentry. We've been gone for 6.5 months, and reentry can be associated with danger, and it can be a reentry can be uncomfortable. Dudley and I are watching a movie about Mars, and they come back through the atmosphere, and the shield is on fire. Dudley was getting nervous just watching it, like it looks like it's going to explode, because coming back into the atmosphere, there's so much heat and change. I've had many experiences with missionaries who, when a missionary goes to a third world country and doesn't watch television or a movie for a year and comes home and comes into the materialism and everything in the States, they go, a lot of them really shut down. I actually have most missionaries, I have to have a talk with them before they come so they'll be nice, because they have a tendency to see the world differently because they're going from one culture to another. It's a re-entry. I was raised, I'm a military brat. My dad, we lived pretty much all over the country and all over the world in different places. And our family was constantly going through re-entry. I was constantly going through that in school. I was constantly the new kid in school, so I had to adjust. But for my mother and father, my father was gone 13 months with no phone calls. And so when he came home, my mother had been running things. And so when my father came home, he's ready to run things. That led to what? Conflict. It took a while for them. It was nothing serious, but I could just tell reentry is a challenge. Certainly with the war zone, I have a friend that's been home from Vietnam 50 years, and he's still going through some measure of reentry through PTSD 50 years later. I would say you are going through that with your children, parents and children on school. Raise your hand if you're in face-to-face school. Can I see hands? Raise your hands if you're in Zoom school. Oh, we're still high tech in Zoom school. So that's it, but it's going to change soon. I believe that, where we'll be back in school, but it's a re-entry. Once you go from Zoom back to the classroom, there'll be new rules on how you can act at school. It's another challenge. And our challenge is to be faithful and flexible wherever God has us. Say that with me. Faithful and flexible. And I'll throw one more in. Be nice. Look at someone around the room and say, would you just be nice? Just be nice. Steve, would you just be nice? Certainly, businesses, all of you in business are going through adjustments of reentry. And like everything else in life, there's the positive and the negative. Some have lost their jobs and are trying to figure out what their next step is. Some are not real confident that their job will be there, even if you have a job, because of some of the things that you hear. But being flexible and faithful, God's with us, and for it's Him who works in us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to share this morning out of John, chapter 6:16. And Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And it was a huge miracle. And they came to Him and they wanted to make Him king. And this is not Jesus, what He wanted, because the kind of king they wanted was a king that would feed them in the wilderness like that and perform many signs. So He disappeared. He went up on the mountain to pray. He sent the disciples down from the mountain, and they got in the boat. And we begin in verse 16 of chapter 6. Now when evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started to cross the Sea of Capernaum. It had already become dark. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a rowboat at night on a big lake, it can be a little different, you know. I don't know what they had, one little light in front of the boat, but they're on the sea and it's become dark. That day they had fed the 5,000. They had an awesome day. And Jesus had not yet come to them. There are times in our life where the Lord will purposely pull back to bring forth certain things out of our character, of what we believe, that's not based on feelings but on faith. On top of that, it says he had not come, but he says the sea began to be stirred up because of the strong wind was blowing, as opposed to a wind, but a strong wind. Then when they had rowed about 3 to 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. 4 miles of rowing at night in the dark, probably into a headwind, and they're trying to get to the other side, and then they see Jesus walking on the sea. Kids, how would you respond to that? Jesus just walking on Lake Mission Viejo over to your boat. You're on your board down at the ocean. He just walks across the top of the... He's just walking on water. Hey, Noah. First thing he does, it says they became frightened. Jesus always does this, and I think it tells me he has a sense of humor. Because he says, why are you afraid? Why are you frightened? You're walking on water in the middle of the night. You look like a ghost. We don't know what's going on. We've got headwinds. We've been in these waters our whole life. We could go down. And drawing near to the boat, they were frightened. And he said to them, it is I. Don't be afraid. Don't sweat it. Do not sweat whatever you're sweating. Don't sweat it. It's I. It's me. Martha, why are you worried about so much? Don't worry about it. Mary's got it right this time. So they were willing, that's a key verb, willing to receive him. I can't imagine not be willing, but then again, Jesus got a lot of pushback. He still gets a lot of pushback. There are some things that Jesus does and says that people don't like. But we have to partake of the entire Lamb, believe everything that Jesus says, and walk in his revelation and what he says to do. So they received him in the boat. Immediately the boat was at the land in which they were going. Now this is a miracle. They were in the middle of the lake, Sea of Galilee, and a storm is brewing. They've been rowing for 4 miles, and Jesus gets in the boat. They are willing to receive him, and immediately they get to the other side. How many times in my life have I been paddling and pulling and rowing and going into headwinds, and I'm a believer, I believe everything about the Lord, but he is not yet in my boat personally. I have not received him into the situation. He's not really in the situation. I say he is, I believe he is, but somehow I haven't received him into my boat. And when he gets in the boat, the wind was still blowing, the waves were still high, and straight away they get to the other side. John and Matt might remember this. There's been years where we planned this conference and we're beating our heads out on the theme. What about this? What about that? In our wisdom, we came up with an idea. When anybody came up with an idea, we cocked a shotgun. So someone says, I have an idea. Boom! And they would blow it out of the atmosphere just because. Nobody's laughing at it. You don't get it. What it was is we were just throwing everything we could, all the spitballs against the wall we could. Until we prayed, and Jesus got in the boat, and it was like, that's it. We got the theme. Where have we been? And same with this building. The irony of this building is amazing. That we're meeting out here. I should have known this. I said, the Lord say, Lord, I don't want a building. He says, I know you don't, but I want to give you a back parking lot. You think you wanted a building. I wanted to give you a back parking lot. And we had so many people, of all the things in my life, that something on a semi-major scale, this building was the easiest thing I ever went through. Because I received them into the boat, and I didn't lose an ounce of sleep. And I watched it happen, how the Lord did it and paid for this building through so many miraculous ways. I don't know if you know it, we could not afford this building. I don't know if you know it, that so much of the building came from other people, not even in our church, that heard about it. It was like God blessing us, and He was in our boat. The next day, so let's remember this. It was dark for them, there was no Jesus, there was a strong wind, and they've been rowing for 4 miles. That's a hard thing. Jesus gets in the boat, straight away to the other side, they land on the shore. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boats there, except the one that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that the disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Have you ever had one of those moments in your life? Like, Jesus, when did you get here? Look what you've done. They did. The thing is, say this with me. Kids too. Jesus. When did you get here? My answer is, I never left you. I never left you. He's been there all the time. He's been with us since March 8th. He's been in our homes. I got some fantastic reports of the bathrobe ministry and the kids. I saw one father line up chairs, just like church. I imagine one of the kids took the offering, and maybe John piped in a piano. But a couple of people would, you know, several would say, you know, it's really meant a lot to be with my kids this way. So it was an adjustment that I want us to see. It wasn't a failure. It was a change, and seeing God in the change, faithful and flexible. He's done stuff in our marriages during this time. Do I get an amen on that? I just saw everybody look at the floor. I'll talk to your kids and find out how it's really going. How you doing? Oh, we're doing really good. Really good. We're just trained to say really good. But I know with all the uncertainty, there's a tendency to, you know, get uptight and all of that. But he's been with us. Jesus never left us. And with our kids, all the stuff that one mom who homeschooling and trying to do homework, trying to run a job, single mom, it's been a real challenge. Not just for us, but for people we know and things we know that's going on in the culture. And for our grandkids, it's been really a special time. My grandson, Connor, he was praying. David was putting him to bed, and he started praying for Dudley and I. He prayed for Nana and Pop-Pop that we wouldn't eat any more bats. Lord, help him not eat any more bats so I can hug him again. Help him, Lord, not to eat any more bats. And for those of you that aren't smiling, the bats is what they think caused the virus. And he heard the bat thing, and that was how clear it was to him. He's been in the times you've been with another couple, just two couples, or a few singles and a couple. He's been in your fellowship this whole time. The world did not end because of Sunday morning. He's been with you when we've had, I know some of you went camping. Some of you had a couple of things in your backyard with people. It was good. He's been with extended family. in the meantime, there's been a lot going on. People have had loved ones get really sick, not of COVID, but of other things. And intercession, the prayer chain hasn't gone down during this time for people in real need. We can be thankful this morning. When this started, it's true. More people die of the flu and more people die of car wrecks when it started. You know what I'm grateful for? Nobody in our church has died of flu. Nobody in our church, except for Laura. Are you here, Laura? There's Laura. Healthy? And are you good now? 90? 90%? 80? We got 80%. We'll take 80%, but for now, but 100. And she's the only one that actually caught this virus. So my view is that I'm grateful that none of you got sick from anything, from the flu. None of us had a serious car wreck or something that was just that we lost someone. And we're all here together 6.5 months later. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
He's been there in your Zooms. He's been there in your text. He's been there in your emails. He's been there in your phone calls. He's been there in your FaceTime. He's been there in your drive-by birthdays. He's been there in your drive-by going away parties. He's been there all along. And today is a celebration because we're back together looking at each other's faces. I told John Norton before church, I just saw John and I just had this, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. I had this love for you. It just came kind of over me like, John. And I was thinking, we walked through 9/11 together. Think about 9/11. Kids, you don't remember it, but it was an attack. And many Americans were killed in our own country. And what was the world going to be like? We walked through a lot. We walked through the whole economy went upside down in 2008. We walked through that. We walked through wars. Curtis, you and many friends. Curtis has friends that gave their life. So did Will and Bo. And I had friends going all the way back to when I served. A lot goes on in life, and I just want us to be grateful this morning for the Lord and who He is, and encourage you that I always say, I don't know, there's nothing in the Bible when we're supposed to start church again. I looked it up. Actually, there's not much in the Bible that tells you how to do church. One of my favorite movies is A Few Good Men. And they're trying to trap the Marine about following the right code, the right thing to do. So the Marine, Tom Cruise is the lawyer, he comes up and he hands them the Marine code book. He says, where in the book does it show you how to get to the mess hall? He said, excuse me, sir? He said, where in the code... Military code, does it show you how to get to... that's not in there, sir. He said, you don't eat? Oh, no, 3 squares a day. He said, how do you get there? I don't know. I guess I just follow everybody else to the mess hall. We are part of the body of Christ. And I have been, over this time, with many pastors. Some have really struggled during this time. There's a number of churches that still haven't opened. There's some that have been open for months. God bless them and God bless it all. We're moving forward and God's with us and for us. Amen. I'm going to close with a verse here out of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 22. And beginning in verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We will be meeting here for the immediate future, and we'll play it by ear. We're going to, maybe next week, this will be here, or we'll play around. So, but that's not a problem, because not only are you faithful, what are you?
Flexible.
Would you tell somebody how flexible you are? Just turn, would you? I'm really flexible. Steve, are you flexible? Come on.
Absolutely.
Flexible? Flexible? I am so flexible, I'm like a rubber band. But I'm going to keep, for the time being, I'm going to continue to write a weekly letter. And this will be filmed and edited by Tuesday morning, maybe earlier. There are some people still that wouldn't feel comfortable coming, and I respect that. And I think we should do that in every situation, to prefer one another. And, John 17 says they'll know we are Christians by our love, not by our theology, not even by our meetings, but by our love. So let's have an attitude and heart of love. So Dale. This is Dale Cangelieri. And the worship team can work their way up.
I really felt like there's a word that Kevin has spoken this morning that somebody here, he's saying to you, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he's calling you this morning to come and accept him into your boat this morning. He's saying, come. It is I. Do not be afraid. So whoever that pertains to this morning, after we're done, somebody here will help you find who's looking for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Dale. Okay, we're going to stand now, and this was our going out song. I'm starting to feel a little bit like a TV talk show host moving around. All I need is the mic now. But this song is called The Blessing. And some of you have seen it on video. It's a 9-minute song on video, but it's gone out all over the world. And these two, I know, will do. It's going to be great. Open your heart. And the musicians are good too. And please, one more time for Pat and this team. This includes Tony Teresa and others that have been part of the team. It's been a lot of work for them to meet every Friday to have those videos. So. Thank you.
this next part, you guys will know this, but I'm just like looking out at all these people and like thinking about different struggles and different, just all the things, you know, we have relationship and we know each other. And just singing this to each other, you know, may his favor be on you. So just think about people in this body who you know, and you know their struggles, and you know their joys, and you know their hardships, and just the journey, right? It's not just for you. This is for your body. This is for the body in the earth. But,
May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, and the children.
Volunteer, a good reader between the age of 8 and 12 to volunteer.
Come on.
Who would that be? Ethan, come on. I'm sorry. Ethan, come on. Okay. This is out of Numbers, and this was Abraham. He was the high priest, and he was telling people, "Bless us." The song we just sang. And I want you to read right here. We're beginning in verse 22, and then we're just going to read to 20,
7, okay? Right there.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them.
Amen. Thank you. If you need the restroom, it's available there, and there's some water out there on the way out. But God bless you. We'll be in touch. Amen.